So again in chapter 10 of John, starting in fact, let me give you a little background before we do our reading out of Scripture. If you go back to chapter 9, because I think it's good to kind of give some context here. If you go back to chapter 9, you will find is that Jesus had healed a man that had been born blind. And his disciples asked, because in their culture, their superstition, their religion, they thought that somebody that had been born with an ailment, whatever it was, whether it be blindness or palsy or whatever, that there was a sin that probably was transmitted from the parents to the child, and as a result, they ended up, the child was afflicted by that illness. And this man is now, I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but he's a man now. He's probably somewhere close to 30, I'm going to venture to guess. Because his parents addressed him, he's a man, he can answer for himself. And his disciples asked, what sin did his parents do for him to be blind? And the response was that the parents did no sin, but that the mighty works of God might be revealed, the man was born blind. The man was healed, but he was healed on the Sabbath day, which in many of their eyes that were of the law, the rigidness of the law, instead of the spirit of the law, but the rigidness of the law, they looked upon this healing as being something done that would have been a work, not giving God honor and glory. And so the Lord Jesus He responded to them, and he started out with a, if you want to back into the first part of chapter 10, he gave a parable, and this will help us to look at our text today. He gave this parable starting in verse 1 where he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, if you will, turn over to verse 22 of this text in John chapter 10, and then we'll be getting into our main subject this morning. So verse 22 says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" And that means a judge. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for what your word continues to not only to teach us, encourage us, it assures us and it blesses us to know that as a child of God, we are assured of your saving grace, eternal life forevermore. And I pray this morning as you search our hearts, if there's one in our midst, one that's listening to this message this morning who's never trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior, we pray that today is the day of salvation. For we who are saved, I pray that we're encouraged through your assurance of knowing that we are your child forevermore. Guide and direct my words, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. The title of this message, again, Assurance, a New Blessing from God. And, you know, why live in despair when there's hope? Why live in defeat when there's victory? Why live in bondage when there is freedom? Yet there are many professing Christians today that are living in these dark, bleak areas. And even though they are saved, they don't seem to have an assurance of their salvation. And I will tell you, they're right where Satan wants them to be. They don't want anybody, they don't want, that Satan does not want you to have the assurance that you are saved forevermore. Now, assurance from the Scriptures, we find two important aspects of this word assurance. First, there's the act of assuring. God's Word brings forth many passages, and we're going to talk about those today, that actively assure us of our eternal salvation. And by the way, it's not our eternal salvation, it's the Lord's eternal salvation that He has imparted to us because we believed in Him unto salvation. And it's a never-ending relationship that we have with Him. And the second thing from God's Word that we find is that through exercising our God-given faith, there is the firm persuasion that, and what I mean by that, it's the full confidence, it's the full trust, it's the freedom from doubt, and it has with it certain expectation, and that word is we call hope. It's an expected hope that comes as a result of the assurance, the certainty of knowing that we're eternally secured in Christ. As we opened our text this morning, we saw that there were those that did not like Jesus. They didn't like Him at all. They could care less for Him. They hated Him in many regards because of the fact He had a following of people. They looked upon Him when they heard His words that He was that great shepherd. In fact, if you go back in the earlier part of chapter 10, He says, I am the good shepherd and I give my life for my sheep and I've laid it down willingly and freely and no man can take it from me. My Father has given me that authority that if I lay it down, I will be able to take it up again. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the door that anyone that comes in, as we read in our text, is that anyone that comes in can go in and out and know, have assurance that we are of the Lord's children. We are saved forevermore. As we study God's Word and as our daily walk with the Lord grows, our assurance should grow deeper. But memory, it takes actively participation. You say, well, what does that mean, actively participation? To be assured. I thought you just said that God's Word assured us. Yes. But if you don't actively embrace it, if you don't actively apply it, then where's going to be your insurance? Where's going to be, if you're not actively in God's Word, if you're not actively embracing God's Word, then your assurance in God is going to wane. That's why it's important for us to, as Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John wrote, well, Jesus speaking says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There were many religious people that rejected Jesus and him being the Son of God because of the fact is that they looked upon him merely as a man. And how can this man bring salvation? How can this man forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. And that was their statement. And Jesus responded, that is a true statement. Only God can forgive sin. But what they rejected, that Jesus is the Son of God. He was wrapped in humanity, 100% man, but he was also 100% God. He was God before he took on the form of man, and he has ascended back to the throne. He never stopped being God, the Son of God, even while he was here on this earth. Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have been justified by faith, and therefore we have peace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the very foundation of our assurance. But believe me, it's only the starting of the foundation. There's much more that we're going to learn from this message today. And we're going to discuss this glorious assurance that we have in Jesus Christ because of His salvation. Now, the meaning of assurance. I want to start there this morning. The meaning of assurance. It means we have security. You know, one of the things is that we go to work, we go to jobs, and at some level we have an idea that we have some assurance that we're going to get paid, right? Why else go to work if you don't believe you're going to get paid, right? Why else go to work if you don't think you're going to have? In many jobs, they offer some type of insurance in the case you get sick or your family gets sick. And so we go to work, we do these types of things. We have some sense of security. In many jobs, they offer the opportunity for you to set aside money out of your pay for a 401k or something similar to a 401k. For what reason? To have some sense of security that when you retire, you will have some substance to be able to live on, not just having to rely on Social Security as an example. So we have some sense of assurance from that. If we invest our money properly, then we'll have some security and assurance that we'll be taken care of. And so when we start to look at security, and especially when it comes to the security that the Lord gives us, now I will tell you is that I can have all the money in the world, and it doesn't guarantee me I'm going to live to be able to enjoy it, right? Alright? I can have the best job, and it doesn't mean that tomorrow I'm not going to get a pink slip and be told you got to go find something else, right? So that type of security is only as good as and or as long as either you have, that you're able to stay with that company and or your money, you're able to survive your money. Amen? But I will tell you, assurance of Christ to the believer is something that I don't have to worry about. It is something that the Lord has told me in His Word. And as we opened here in chapter 10, again our text said this, my sheep, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In other words, they hear, they understand my voice, and they follow me. And this word follow me, first of all, it says, I know them. That's a good thing, amen. I know them. They're not castaways. I know them. And it says, they follow me, and they follow the Lord's path. They follow wherever He goes. And He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. No one is able to pluck, and that word pluck means to rob, to steal, to harpoon, to draw them away. No one is able to do that because they are secure in not only my hand, but also in the Father's hand. Life is not secure, but the Word of God, His salvation is very secure. No one can pluck us out. Also, it's a meaning that we look at as well as the meaning of assurance. It means that we have the knowledge of eternal life. Now, I will tell you, there's a lot of people, and they call themselves children of God, that do not have the assurance of eternal life. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Is that there are times that I have come and witnessing and going out and canvassing, knocking on doors, and things of this nature, just getting into a dialogue with an individual, that I've asked this question, do you know without a shadow of a doubt when you die, where are you going to go? Where are you going to spend eternity? You've heard me bring that question up on several occasions of late. How do you know where you're going to go? Do you have the confidence of where you are going to go when you die? And by the way, we're all going to die. The Lord says it's appointed unto man once to die, and we're all going to die. But I don't fear death. Why? When I ask the question, do you know where you're going to go? There are those that will tell me, I hope I go to heaven. I hope I go to heaven. You claim that you're a child of God and you hope you're going to go to heaven. Why is it that you hope that you're going to go to heaven? Why aren't you knowing where you're going to go when you die, that you're definitively going to know where you're going to go when you die? Can you be that assured? But my Bible tells me I can be most assured. My Bible tells me exactly the fact that I can be assured and that I am assured because the Scripture says is that we know that we have eternal life. If you don't know, then I'm going to ask you, are you truly saved? That's my first question. Because a child of God should know. Now, does that mean that you're not ever going to have any doubt about salvation? No. Because I will tell you, every child of God at some time in their life is going to wonder, are they truly saved? Now, I will tell you why they're going to wonder about if they're truly saved or not. It's because of this reason. A couple of reasons, and I'll put it this way. A tragedy, let's just say that you do something. In our flesh, we do something that we just know is just out and out was wrong. It was against God. And you ask this question, can God truly forgive me of this sin? I know without a shadow of a doubt I trust in the Lord, but I did this thing. Can the Lord forgive me? Well, the answer is yes. He can forgive you. Does it mean there's not going to be consequences? No, there can be consequences for your actions. But can He forgive me? The answer is yes, because 1 John 1 and 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we go back and we look at David, King David, David was, you know, he was a man after God's own heart, but I will tell you, the man messed up. He had an affair with Bathsheba, and a child was born out of that adulterous affair. He ended up causing her husband to be killed, and that child ended up dying 7 days after being born. Is that the man messed up? And yet, what did he do? He went back to the Lord, he asked the Lord to forgive him, and the Lord forgave him. Were there consequences for his actions? By all means. But did it separate him from the love of God? And the answer is no. It did not. In fact, he says, against thee only have I sinned. And God, please forgive me of my sin. In order to understand the assurance of God, you have to have the confidence in God that God's Word is true. No one can pluck you out of my Father's hand. No one can pluck you out of my hand. And the Scripture tells us that we can have knowledge of the Scripture. And in fact, it says in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 13, let me read starting at verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now hear what that said. It's binary, meaning it's zero or one. You either know Christ as your Savior, or you don't know Christ as your Savior. There's no in between. There's no, well, I'm going to somehow or another bridge that gap. Or somehow I'm going to be able to be prayed out of that hole. Or I'm going to be paid out of that hole. It's either you know Christ, or you don't know Christ. It's very binary. It is that way. It's the way the Scripture says. So if you know Christ the Savior, you have eternal life. This is the record, the Scripture says. And these things, it goes on to say, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And it means having a knowledge that once I have trusted in Christ as Savior, is that now I am a child of God forevermore. In fact, 1 John chapter 3 tells us, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That word now is present tense. Now. Now and now. Now are we the children of God. Now never stops. Now is for perpetuity. Now are we the children of God. Because we've been justified by our faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So this is really the meaning of assurance. But you see, there's also the necessity of assurance. It is necessary to know the forgiveness of sins. See, it's one thing to say that you can be forgiven, but it's necessary to know of this forgiveness. So what it means? It's necessary to know that Jesus alone went to the cross of Calvary to pay in full our debt, our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And I want to go back to my statement earlier about can we be assured? I said that sometimes we may have doubt. And I will tell you this, every child of God, as I stated earlier, every child of God will go through maybe a window of time that they just don't realize that or understand that they're truly saved and are they really saved? Have they lost it? But I will tell you what ends up happening is really the source of that is that we are placing the knowledge of salvation on emotion. On emotion. I can get very despondent. I can get very distraught. I can get very discouraged. And in those states of emotion, I can wonder and question, am I truly saved or not? In that emotional or mental state, I can ask and be asking, where is the assurance? And my friend, I will tell you this, is that ever you get into that situation, where are you going to go to be reassured? Well, the simple answer is, right back here. What brought you to Jesus in the first place will help secure you in Jesus when you get into those most difficult times of your life, because the Word of God will help us to understand the necessity of the assurance about the forgiveness of sins. I will tell you this, is that you could never pay your sin debt. None of us could, because we're all unrighteous. None of us are right before God. In fact, the Scripture says we are all unrighteous. None of us are righteous. We are unrighteous. Not a one of us could ever be righteous before a true living God. None of us have made the mark. You know, there's a lot of people that have lived in religion thinking that they could become acceptable unto God, only to find out, as the Lord says, what's going to end up happening, that there will be those that will come before Him in that day, and they will say, Lord, Lord, have we done all of these things in Thy name? But it was all born out of either self-adulation, or out of just using the Lord in His name, in His ministry, honoring, worshiping God, and He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, because of this reason, because you never trusted in my Son, Jesus Christ. The necessity of knowing is that we can have forgiveness of sins. Now, does that mean that we're not going to... let me read from 2 Corinthians 5:21 where it says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's necessary that we have faith in the Lord for our assurance to go forward. Necessity to have faith. You know, Hebrews, we heard this morning out of Hebrews in devotion. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, where it says this, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? is because he walked with the Lord. He believed in the Lord. He believed in what the Word of God had to say. Now, you've got to understand about Enoch. Enoch lived before Christ came. Enoch lived before Christ came, but it had been prophesied that a Messiah, that a Savior was going to come. It goes all the way back into Genesis chapter 3. We find there the first idea, the first prophecy of a Savior coming. And they were all looking for one. They believed in the coming Messiah. He walked with the Lord. He walked in faith. Another man, Noah. A Noah that we heard about this morning that walked in faith. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here they had never had rain. Not ever seen rain. And let alone a flood. And yet, Noah was told, go out here and build the ark. He was given specific design, the design requirements, the height, the length, and everything else. And he was scoffed at, and scoffed at, and scoffed at. You're building this monstrosity of a boat for what reason? Out here in dry land. Why are you doing this? Because the Lord told me so. And I'm doing what the Lord told me so. It's going to flood, the Lord told me so, and I believe it's going to flood. I don't know how it's going to flood, what it's going to do. He just told me that things are going to happen, it's going to flood, and anybody that's on this ark is going to be saved. But anyone that stays off the ark is not going to be saved. Eight people walked in that door of the ark, and then it says, and the Lord closed the door. No one else could get in because of the fact they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't believe. Enoch says that he believed God, he trusted in God, and he was gone. He was gone, the Lord took him. And verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I will tell you, the necessity of believing in assurance, you are going to need it when you face life, when you face the things of life, when you face the circumstances. Every one of us have been afflicted in some way, shape, or form. You know, our family members. I mean, we've gone through, you know, we've been, this last year, COVID, and many friends and loved ones have died from it. And things about our own personal selves. We've had, you know, at times we've had loss of jobs, we've had loss of finance, we've had loss of health, we've had loss of loved ones. We've had all types of things that have happened. And yet, by having a knowledge of the eternal security of Jesus Christ, it will help us to face whatever life throws us. Now, I'm not saying we go out here and do a kumbaya and say, well, whatever will be, will be. That's not what I'm asking and saying about. What I'm saying is that you can approach life with the things that are coming against us and understand that we still have the Lord with us. When you read Romans chapter 8 as an example, and I call it the love chapter to children of God, but especially starting at verse 33 of chapter 8, the Apostle Paul writing here, he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? We are more than conquerors. And then the last two verses of that passage, or next couple verses, goes on to say, because you see what I said earlier about assurance. Assurance is, there's the persuasion, there's the knowledge and the persuasion. The persuasion comes when I am actively engaged in believing what the Lord has to say. Paul says this in verse 38 of that passage, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I will tell you, when it says no other creature, that means you too. You are a creature of the Lord. You can't even separate yourself from salvation the Lord has given us. You can't even do it. As I stated earlier, now this does not give us license to go out here and sin. Remember I said there's going to be consequences for what you do. But God's grace is greater than all our sin. Amen? And we understand that, yes, there may be times that we mess up, but praise God for that. For the fact is that His grace covers us from all our sins. You realize also is that there's such a need to being assured. And go back to my question at the beginning. How in the world can you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? It comes from this simple principle. The Lord says so.
Amen.
The Lord says so. Not because I said so, not because this church says so, but because the Lord says so. And how do I know that the Lord says so? It's because the Lord says Himself said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." If you don't have that confidence, you need to be in God's Word. If you're truly a child of God, you say, "Well, how do I know if I'm truly a child of God?" It's a good question. How do I know if I'm truly a child of God? Did I do enough to get to heaven? No, you can never do enough to get to heaven, and that's not ever the way you're going to get to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way." We also read back in the previous part of this chapter, He says, "I'm the door. I'm the door into the sheepfold. Anybody who tries to get into heaven are as thieves and robbers, that they've tried to come in the back door." That's what religion does, tries to bring you in the back door. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." But how do I come to the Father? By you. It says this, that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It says that with the heart man believeth. What does that mean? I recognize that I'm a sinner. When I go back to the time that I came to Christ as a young individual, as a child, I was 11 years of age, and I recognized without a shadow of a doubt I was lost. Without a shadow of a doubt, I knew that if I died in my unbelief, you say, even at the age of 11, yes, at the age of 11, I didn't need a lot. I didn't need to be a theologian to understand that if I died without Jesus, I was going to go to hell. I didn't need all kinds of biblical training to understand that. All I needed to know at that moment in time, that if I died in my unbelief, I was going to go to hell. And I will tell you, that shook me to the very core at age of 11. At age of 11, what did I do next? I had two choices. Reject it, understanding, or do what needed to be done. On that day that I understood that I needed to come to the Lord, that day I knelt before the Lord and asked Him to forgive me my sin. I didn't have to write an essay. I didn't have to come up with a whole theological dissertation. I didn't have to come forth and do a doctorate to get the Lord to accept me. All I had to do was ask Him to forgive me and to receive me as His child. And you know what He did that day? He saved me. For how long? My Bible teaches me forever. For all of eternity. I am saved for all of eternity. And we find that the Scripture tells us and continues to teach us of this assurance. How does this assurance come to us? First of all, we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us, in fact, we find in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 13, it says, "And whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth." I heard the word of truth. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I heard the word of truth. Jesus will save you for all who will repent and trust in Him as their Savior. And then I heard the word of truth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple. That's what salvation is about. It's not hard. We make it hard. We make it hard. It's from the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then from the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But it says in Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted as, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed," at the very moment of salvation, it says, "ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." Do you realize that Jesus wants to save everyone? I want you to understand about heaven. Heaven is an expanse that was made for all of humanity. Now get your mind around that one. Heaven was made of an expanse because the Lord tells us in His Word that He is long-suffering. He is not willing that anyone should perish, but all should come to repentance. The Lord does not want us, and that's what the Spirit of God does to help us to understand that. Is that as a result, God wants us to be saved. He wants us to live with Him for all of eternity. But you also find in Scripture that hell has to be enlarged. Well, why does hell have to be enlarged? Because it was never made for man. Hell, the Scripture tells us, was made for Satan and the fallen angels, period. That was it. But it has to be enlarged to receive all those who reject Christ as Savior. And then in Romans 8:16, it says the Spirit itself bears witness. Remember I said we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit then bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There are going to be days that you're going to get up and you're going to say, I just don't feel saved today. I don't feel saved today. Salvation is not an emotion. Salvation is a knowing. Salvation is going back to the Word of God and saying, Lord, I just don't feel it today. He says, but my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. They shall never, and neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We just keep reading that. We keep reading this passage. And there's other passages, of course, but then the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. But we also have the assurance in Christ Jesus Himself. In fact, Jesus said while He was here in John chapter 3 and 36 is recorded, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. There again is that binary statement. If you trust in Jesus, you're His child. If you do not trust in Jesus, the wrath of God will abide. And that word abideth, that little E-T-H on the end, it means perpetually. Continually, never ending, the wrath of God abideth on him. But it also tells us in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But you know that assurance still comes from the Word of God. This is the record. The Lord wants us to know that we're eternally saved. That was out of 1 John I mentioned earlier. In fact, Peter writes this. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope, an expected hope, knowing hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now let me give you a little explanation of what was just said there in that passage. Is that had Jesus have not arisen from the dead, we would still be looking for a Messiah. Let that one sink in. You see what makes Jesus the Savior of the world? He was the propitiation. He was the payment. He was the atonement for our sin when He went to the cross of Calvary. He was laid in that grave for 3 days and 3 nights, as the Scripture says. But then He arose from the grave. Had He have not risen from the grave, He could not have been our Savior. Resurrection is necessary for us to have salvation. And it says that He arose to a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as a result, He arose and we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, who can enjoy this assurance? Who can enjoy it? Well, I find is that David enjoyed the assurance. He was a man after God's own heart. In fact, he wrote the 23rd Psalm. Many of you can quote it by name and by words, where it says there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now think about this. When he wrote this, is that there have been troublesome times for David as a king. I mean, he was chased by Saul. He was chased by his own son, Absalom. There were all kinds of other things, but he had a resolve in his heart that had been settled in the very bowels of his very spiritual knowledge and being. The Lord is my shepherd. Remember what it said earlier in our text? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had such an assurance that even though that he was had been in the valley or on the mountaintop, the Lord was with him all the way. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Think about the persecutions of Job. We may go through persecutions. Here was a man that one day lost everything. His whole 10 kids gone. All of his stock, livestock, all of his servants, everything was gone. The only thing he was left with was his wife. That was it. Nothing else. His wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And then we know that there was a dialogue going on between Satan and God. And God asks Satan, it says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he says, "Yes, I have, but you have a hedge of protection around him. And if you just let the hedge of protection down, then I know what he's going to do. He's going to curse you and die." Lord says, "You can do what you want to his body, but you cannot kill him." And so he gave him boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. All he could do was to get any kind of relief was to sit in ashes and then to scrape those boils to get any kind of relief. And then on top of that, "Oh, I know what will do it. I will send 4 accusers. I will send your friends to you." And what did they do for 7 days? They just sat there, said not a word, and then they started speaking. "You must have done something, Job. You must have done something, Job. You must have done something, Job. Just repent of what you did." He gave his statement to them, and he ended up saying this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Everything that happened to Job was for a lesson for each and every one of us, even in our darkest days. Even when we have the accuser, Satan, standing against us, we can still have confidence, "For I know my Redeemer. I know that He liveth." And we, as Paul, as believers in Christ, Paul says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Why? It's because of this. Because He saved us. He saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. As long as we're here on this earth, He's still got work for us to do. But let me tell you what the tragedy is of not having assurance. Without assurance, there's no peace. I tell you that I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not. Because I know where I'm going to go. And do I want to go right now? I'm not ready to. I'm not ready to. There's things that I think God still has for me to do here on this earth, and as long as He keeps me here, then I'm going to do it. But you see, I can die in confidence. I can die in confidence in knowing where I'm going to go. Without assurance, there's no peace. There's none. Because, you know, I hope that my karma has been such good that it's going to get me there. There is no such thing as karma anyway. All right? I hope I can be lucky enough to get there. I hope maybe they pull the lottery and I can get the lottery number and I'll get me there. I can hope this and I can hope that. That will not get you there. Okay? It will not get you there. I want peace. I want peace that passes all understanding. And I will tell you, it has to come from the presence of knowing Jesus as your Savior. But you see, with that peace, the Scripture says, Paul writes this in Colossians 3:15. He says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it take precedence. Let the peace of God, not peace of Ron, not peace, put your name in. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it direct you. Let it guide you. Let it show you the way." Because I will tell you, Satan wants to beat you down all of the way. Philippians 4:7 tells us, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I will tell you, I believe that the days to come are going to get hard. I believe they're going to get hard. Brother John talked about this morning, devotion. It's going to get hard. Our society is going to get hard. But I will tell you, I read the end of the chapter or the end of the book, and it says, God wins. And it also said this, for everyone that is an overcomer, we win too. Not because of who we are, because of who Jesus is. My Bible tells me, we win. Conquerors. Conquerors. We can have that assurance within us. Even though that Satan, and the Lord tells us, don't go into this and saying it's that, well, it's just going to be a bed of roses. No, the Lord tells us in His Word that Satan is going to do everything he can to shake your assurance, shake your faith. I mentioned about Job just a moment ago, but remember about Peter? Here's what Jesus said to Peter. Luke 22:31 says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired. That word hath desired means he's demanded to have you. He wants to do this, that he may sift you as wheat. Sift you as wheat. He wants you, and I will tell you, one of the first things that Peter had to deal with, he wants to sift you as wheat. Jesus told Peter, because Peter just said, I'll go to Jerusalem, I'll die with you, Lord, I'll be there with you. And Jesus said, Peter, he looked at him with love and care. He says, before the cock crows three times, he says, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. Actually, he said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times, is what he said. And we know that Peter was challenged at the trial of Jesus, and three times Peter denied him. And you've got to understand about what all was going on. Here in the front was the trial. Peter is standing back there, probably about where Brother Ryan is, back here in the back. Good Baptist sitting on the back, by the way. I throw that in for good measure. But anyway, he's sitting back there on the back, right? So he's probably back there listening, watching. The trial is going on up here. I know you not. I know you not. I know you not. And of all the things that's going on up here, Jesus just looked back and the cock crowed. Peter ran out weeping. But I will tell you, the Lord restored him. Peter became a formidable person to stand. But Peter also knew, because he was forgiven. Peter also knew because the Lord loved him, even though he had messed up. And that's why Peter wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without assurance, there is no blessedness. Without assurance, there is no hope. Without assurance, there isn't a sense of peace. And I will tell you, there is a time when assurance comes. And that comes at the very moment that you trust in Christ as Savior. The very moment. I'll tell you, when I got up from trusting in Christ as my Savior, there was such a joy that came over me. I couldn't wait to tell someone. I couldn't wait. I wanted to tell someone. I wanted everybody to know what I had. What the Lord had given me as a result of trusting Jesus as my Savior. I had been assured of salvation. I had been assured of His presence with me daily. I had been assured that He was going to walk with me. I had been assured that He is my intercessor. How do I know He's my intercessor? Because He tells us in His Word. I've been assured that nothing can take me out of that grip. Again, I'm going to read our passage. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, and every time I read that, I am rest in assurance and peace of what I have in Jesus Christ. But you know what I'm also certain of? I'm certain of that. The fact is that one day I too will rise from the dead. The Scripture tells us is that we should not worry, we not sorrow, because why? The grips and the pains of death will never hold on to us. The grips of death and pain will never hold on to us, because the very moment I die, the Scripture says, absent from this body and present with the Lord. Then you say, well, Pastor, you spent a lot of time talking about eternal life. Yes, but you see, without the knowledge of eternal life and living forever, how am I ever going to cope with this life for here, for how long I'm going to be on this earth? How am I going to last? How am I going to get through difficulties in my family? How am I going to get through difficulties with my job? How am I going to get through difficulties with my sickness, my ailments? And I'm saying this when I say, how am I? Put your own name there. How am I going to get through with that when I got children and are going and doing things that are not right? Well, how is it when I'm going to, when I've got an issue with my mate and we're just not getting through things and we're not working things out? How am I going to get through any of that? Because I'm going to feel that I'm all alone, and I will tell you with the assurance that I have of eternal life with Jesus Christ here, with the Spirit of God within me, I know that I can get through anything, but I've got to trust in Him. How am I going to trust in Him to get me through it? It's because I'm assured that He walks with me. He tells me, He says, I am your great high priest. There's nothing too big that I cannot handle, but you have to be willing to bring it to me. You cannot solve your problems alone. You can't. You cannot solve your problems. But God can solve every problem if we will bring it to Him. Knowing God by experience brings us to the point in life that we can face everything that is before us, not only in the future, but anything that we're dealing with right now in the presence. And here is the reason. It's because we have the blessed assurance that we have Jesus Christ. It brings us joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to read this passage to you, and then we will close this morning. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory for this reason, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. That one day, I know without a shadow of a doubt, at the end of the day, I'm going to step into His glory. And I'm going to be with Him for all of eternity. And I will tell you, as a result of that, I know that He's going to be with me while I'm here on this earth. I may only have another 20 years. You know, I'm on the 120-year plan. I may only have 60 more years. But as long as I'm here, my Lord tells me, no one will pluck me out of His hand. Praise God. But my friends, this morning, if you've never been placed in the hand of God, you need to trust Jesus as your eternal Savior. Let us stand as our musicians come forth for a hymn of invitation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, Lord, I thank You so much for what Your Word has taught us, the assurance that it's given us to help us to understand that You are here with us, that You want all men to be saved, that You don't want anyone to perish, because we know that perishing means eternal separation from You. Lord, You promised that You will not turn anyone away, but whosoever shall call upon Your name, they will be saved. And they'll be safe for all of eternity. And that is the assurance Your Word has given. We pray if there's one here that's heard this message this morning, has never trusted in Your Son Jesus as Savior, we pray that today is the salvation. But for we who are saved, Lord, I pray that what we've studied has encouraged us, has challenged us to dig deeper into Your Word, just so we see that peace that can only come from You, that peace that You afford to us, that assurance that You give us, because You said this is the record that we may know that we have eternal life. And we know that one day that we will see You face to face. whatever the need of this morning, this hour, Lord, I pray that we will turn to You in security, turn to You in confidence. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.